When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, Sandeep Parikh.
Hi, Milana Weintraub. How are you?
Oh, I'm getting over a stiff neck, which I think is really just your body being like, cool it.
Yeah.
Seriously. No. Seriously. Turn off. Lay down.
I have that theory about sickness too, or like ankle sprains or whatever. It's just like your body being like, okay, I told you. I tried to warn you.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't. So now I got to just put you down. I got to take you down for a count. Just got to sleeper hold you. Choke you out.
And she's out.
And she's out.
I've told my husband, I'm like, I really would love like to just get sick for a few days, to just lay on the couch and watch TV and have a good reason to do that. And he was like, you don't have to get sick. To do that. And I'm like, yeah, actually I do. Actually, like that might be the only way, because there's no way that things are happening in my house that I do not get pulled into.
Yeah. And then
even with this stiff neck.
You get buy-in from everybody if you're sick. If you don't get, otherwise people are just like, wait, you're just going to watch TV while like I have to spin these plates? Like, are you crazy? Yeah.
Exactly. I've heard Michelle Obama talk about this, where like before her and Barack had kids, they would be like, oh, you're leaving town? Okay, great. I'm going to catch up on my shows. And then after they had kids, they were like, wait, what do you mean you're going to the gym?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I will slash your tires. Yeah. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Your Mom is a Check-In. We're already doing it. We're checking in with each other. As we said before, I'm Sandeep Parikh.
I'm Milana Weintraub.
And we do this in between our regular episodes of our show, you know, because we love each other, we love hanging out, and we need to check in with each other. And we're going to talk about a little bit of what inspired us from the Jimmy Pardo episode, which was a very special one. And we're going to go a little bit deeper into that stuff and how it's sort of affecting our parenting journeys. So that's what you're going to get out of this.
What did you think was special about it? What stuck from it with you. Sorry, English, second language.
With it from me to stick with, it did, was, I mean, it was our first episode where we like reversed the whole setup.
And
we,
the
like,
life had, cycle.
Yeah, the life cycle, exactly. We went the opposite way in samsara, which is the cycle of life, death, and rebirth.
Beautiful.
Okay, sorry.
Thank you for that.
You're so welcome. Yeah, I'm a guru.
I'm enlightened now.
And yeah, had the kiddo on talking about the parent. And I thought, you know, we didn't know how that was going to shake out. I, you know, who knows? We could bring in this 16-year-old kid on. Like, how podcast ready is a 16-year-old? But it turns out we got ourselves a pretty enlightened
book. He's been training his whole life.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
He's spawned from comedians and personalities. And
podcast
so,
legends. Yeah.
Surprise, surprise. He was, you know, really well articulate, and this old soul, and it was really cool to get that point of view of like, it was almost like a report card for the dad.
Yes. Like,
how are you doing, man? Are you doing this right? And you know, by all accounts, seems like Jimmy's a pretty
decent
dad.
He's crushing it.
Yeah.
Well, we said in the episode, like, we should check back in 10 years and really see how it's all working out, which I think is actually like we were kidding, but like let's set that date in our calendars, because I really am so curious about the the chain of events and what leads to us becoming ourselves. This is the, you know, the seed of our podcast is what leads us to becoming ourselves. And we're getting to meet this kid before he goes off to college, after he's had a life of like a few things that you and I specifically are really curious about: being an only child, being raised in a big city, being raised by entertainers, and he's doing great, which means there's hope for us.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what that did. You're right. It felt like, okay, because we got this little 5-year old who is just coming into his power in all these ways, and he's going to a new school, and he is like, these tantrums are absolutely wildly epic.
Let's not call them tantrums. Let's call them an overflow of feelings, as my therapist likes to say.
These oofs. Oh, I like that. I like that as an acronym. These oofs he's having. That's so good. Yeah, that's a great reframe. Great reframe. These oofs that he's having are just, they're just bigger, badder. They're just like he's getting older. You know, his oofs are getting older and stronger. We have these moments of just like, are we doing this right? Is this the responsive parenting technique right? Like, should we punish him?
What's the line between the gentle or responsive parenting and authoritative parenting? And lots of styles, lots of books. I think there will be so many things that make you not listen to yourself.
Right.
So if, say you never read a book, say you never talked to anybody, and say your parents didn't punish you, like, I mean, this is like the hardest thing. I'm like, hey, forget everything you know. But like, what do you think is inside? What do you think is the correct response?
Yeah. My guess is that it is because like what comes up from you first, but I don't know if it's the correct response at all, but it is some version of like, go to your room, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, and I don't think that's great. I don't think that is a good way of handling it, though. So, you know, or like, you know, sometimes he's like swinging, you know, he's like hitting it. And stuff. Yeah. He goes for some slaps and hits and bites and stuff like that. So it'll be like, yeah, you just get this impulse to be like, yo, if you're going to hit, like, if you're going to hit your mom, especially when he hits my wife, like, that is like really hard to witness.
Yeah, your job is to not let anybody hit your wife.
Yeah, exactly. So like,
that was actually in your vows. I was at your wedding and I remember you mentioning that in your vows.
I was like, I will protect you from anyone that tries to punch or kick or bite you, no matter who it is. And little did I know I was talking about my own son.
The only threat is the one you've brought into the world.
Sorry, I was just thinking of someone's vows being like, I will never hit you. And just like, we never thought you until you said it.
That was taken as a given, dude.
I will never
spit in your face or poison your food. What?
Right. I get very specific. I will never cheat on you. I won't even scroll on Facebook for way too long, looking at old photos of my exes and maybe messaging them when I'm a little bit tipsy.
Okay, now you're getting really specific with the things you promise not to do. Oh, this is a weird time to bring it up. My grandma's right here.
Yeah, we got to lay it all on the line. This is the moment. I'm going to bring it back to Oliver, which is just to say, like, I do think, I don't know
Oliver how, is Jimmy's son.
Jimmy's son. Like, I don't know how much of a responsive parent he was or whatever, but what I see in Jimmy in terms of kindred spirits is, you know, he's this comedian, he's a storyteller. I can tell he has fun in lots of ways with his kid that, like, you know, it seemed to me like accessing those places of connection more and more versus places of disconnection will lead me to an Oliver. That is my hope.
Yeah. I mean, I wish he was here so that he could actually answer that, because one of the things he said is that he treated him with love up until he was old enough to be treated with respect. And I think, and again, I don't have a 5-year-old, so I'm dumb as bricks when it comes to this conversation, but I am just imagining myself in the future and how we would handle it. And I think part of having respect, and this is actually something you told me. You told me, like, don't talk to a kid like they're dumb. Don't, you know, don't talk down to them, kind of talk to them like they're an adult-ish, which I don't fully do because my kid's 3, but there are times where I explain things
and they're
like,
they're so cute and they're so yummy and you want to talk to them.
And yummy and you just want to, like, yeah, kiddos. We've been talking exclusively in Ninja Turtles and Minion voices for like the past 2 days, which has been great. But I do think there, when you respect somebody, you don't let them hit you.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you hit me or one of my friends, I would have to like lay down a line, right? Mm-hmm. I'd have to be like, that was not okay. And now I need to distance myself from you. And maybe you're not allowed in my space now because I don't feel good. Mm-hmm. Around. Like how do you respond with both love and respect when somebody totally crosses that line?
That's I think the inherent challenge, and in doing it and trying to keep, because if you go to a place of anger or frustration, not that you like have to be the Zen Buddhist all the time, but it can spiral, you know, in the opposite direction. Mm-hmm. So it's like, how do you remove someone? But besides just over and over saying like, hey, I'm right here, but it's not okay to do this. You know, I think mm-hmm. one thing that we've been doing a lot of, which is somewhat working, is, hey, your emotions are totally valid and okay, but your behaviors are not. And like getting him to complete the sentence mm-hmm. has been kind of helpful because he's stuck in a loop, you know, he's stuck in a reactive kind of lizard brain loop there. It's not like he's this horrible child. He just he feels out of control for some reason. And he feels like he needs to gain control. And the only thing he knows how to do in this moment when he's under-resourced, hungry, mm-hmm. overwhelmed by his day at school, but hasn't processed it, whatever, all those things is like to just, for him, it's to physically lash out. He is of the fire element for sure. There are other kids that are not. I mean, I've seen other mm-hmm. kids that deal with their discomfort in totally different ways, but my son is a little ball of fire. And when both of his grandparents will say about him that they remind them of their first kid, both of them, right? And I'm like, and I was talking to my therapist about this, and my therapist was like, what's the common denominator of that? And I was like, oh yeah, like first child. I think there is a first child kind of attitude about it. Because like then when we're under resourced and feeling terrible, it's mm-hmm. harder to react with like loving kindness. But 100%. I do know the faster that we get to it, the easier it does to contain the actual situation and get him to a place of being able to sort of regulate his emotions. Mm. It's just so hard though when you're in the moment. And then like, by the way, he's like also very, very smart. So he is like clever now. He's getting more clever. It's like the velociraptor is learning how to turn the doorknob, like where he'll kind of calm down a little bit and then out of nowhere, like throw a napkin in my face. Like it's like almost like he's like deliberating on stuff. And I'm just like, whoa, what is happening here? Like he is pushing boundaries and trying to figure out like, yeah, how much control can I exert? I don't know. I don't even know if it's that manipulative or deliberate, but it's some version, I think, of coming back from a hard school day at a new place that is defining how he acts and behaves the entire time. And he does it because he's not in an entirely safe environment. He's in with, you know, kind of strangers, not with his parents, but here he comes to this safe environment with his parents and can just like let all the feelings out. And it's about trying to get him to figure out how he can let those feelings out in ways that aren't harmful to his family.
It's also like, this is the kind of thing where you just don't know what to do until you're in the moment. And even then, I mean, look at you, look at everyone obviously questioning it. I once did this movie with one actor who was about my age, who didn't have any kids, and another woman who had a 3-year-old who she brought with us. And two set. So we were all kind of seeing each other, living with each other every day. And this 3-year-old was doing normal 3-year-old stuff, bouncing off the walls, you know, not listening to her mom, having oofs. And me and the other guy who didn't have kids were both like, ooh, when I was younger, if I acted this way, my mom would have smacked me so hard. He's also a child of immigrants. And that was a very normal part of our upbringing, was just a spanking. And so when that kid would act out, we would kind of like pull our hand back and be like, ooh, my mama would.
And it feels like you would, you know.
And then I had a child, and I'm remembering that, and I'm like, oh, I could never. There is no world where I could ever be okay with hurting this little body. And I've recently heard that, like, it's still a thing people do, like that it's still a part of our culture somehow, to totally. That people think it's okay to spank kids. Or there's like this thought of like, well, if you spank them when they're young, then there's like a built-in fear, and then you don't need to spank them again when they're older, or like, you know. And I actually do believe, I think, in a slightly more authoritative parenting style than you do, because it's what I was raised with a little bit. But I think mostly because I think being an authority figure is helpful in a world where he's constantly looking for right and wrong. And so we do say, like, there have been times where my son hits me and I will hold his hand and I'll say, that's not okay. Or I'll go, oh, did you just hit me? And he'll go, sorry, mama. You know, like, there is that call and response.
You have a different tempered child.
I do.
Very differently tempered child, because I have definitely, you know, I've had to hold his body and say, hey, I've got to hold your body right now. I've got to hold your body. I've got to protect mama, or I got to protect myself. I cannot let you do this. And it does not result in an immediate sorry, daddy.
Yeah,
that is not where he
goes. It is a different temper child. I don't mean to compare our kids.
Yeah, it's just. I hear you. I just think that, like, different kids will test boundaries in different ways.
Totally. And my kid will test boundaries by the time he's 5 in many different ways, I'm sure.
Yeah, possibly. I don't know, but I think that, you know, just knowing your son too, like, he is just differently tempered, and like he regulates his emotions in totally different ways than mine does, for sure.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The Humana Honor Medicare Advantage Plan gives you $1,860 back each year in your Social Security check. Choose coverage that helps you keep more money in your pocket. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. The Part B Give Back benefit pays part or all of your Part B premium, and the amount may change based on the amount you pay for Part B. Limitations and restrictions may apply. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.
And what I'm trying to say is, I want to trade. No, I'm just kidding.
You can't have mine. I like him.
No, I love
like the
mine.
Way his hair smells, I like the way his feet smells. And we're doing a bit where I pretend to smell his feet, and oh no, where I actually smell his feet and I go, yuck. But in actuality, I love them. I love the way his feet stink, and I love the way his armpits smell, and I love his little yummy,
so weird how much
body.
I love the smell of my child. It's very strange.
He always smells like strawberries to me.
Yeah.
What's up with that?
Yeah, but I think I do think that they're like somewhat pre-baked with certain ways in which they respond. And, you know, probably some of it is modeling. Like, I definitely, if a technical thing happens on my computer, I find myself like, God damn it, you know, or whatever, shouting it out. And I'm like, oh shit, my kid's in the room. And so maybe like he's, you know, some of it's modeled behavior, and it's like how he thinks he should sit, you know, when he's frustrated with a toy. So like, I've got to do the work, you know, being like, okay, I can't be can't be as reactive myself. And it's,
yeah,
it's tough. It's tough. But
yeah,
that's why I do podcasts, to try to help me figure it out.
Yeah, this podcast will solve it all. But I do think we need to like do check-ins every 10 years with all of the kids and parents that we're talking to, because there's no way to guarantee which style of parenting is going to work best. And there are parents who are smart, who are strategically spanking their kids, not even just out of like an anger fit, but like think this is the right thing to do to raise good people.
Sure.
And then yeah, there are people who are letting their kids do whatever they want, like on the entire other side of the spectrum. And it's like it's a really long-term experiment to see which one works best. And if you can even have a control group.
No, and you can't, because it's not like I can go, oh, well, I'll raise my little twice and determine which way is going to be better. Even if I have a second child, they're going to come pre-baked with a totally different sort of, you know, pre-programmed set of instructions baked into their DNA, yeah, essentially. So yeah. I don't know. I mean, like, listen, I think you just, you do the best you can. I feel like what I feel like is working is that is having these conversations at all. I don't imagine my parents having a podcast where they're having these like vulnerable conversations with their best friend about how they're parenting. I don't think that that's happening. I don't, you know, or was happening. And I think that is good. You know, I don't know that we have all the answers per se. You got to go with like instincts, and it is like kind of case by case, moment to moment. It's like when you know, I've taught some improv, right? Like I can teach you all the rules of improv, but at the end of the day, you're on the stage and you're in the moment, and hopefully some stuff has become muscle memory because we've mm-hmm. trained and practiced.
Yeah.
But crazy happens. I mean, I yeah. remember doing an improv show and someone climbed up on a stage door and the whole thing collapsed and fell down. And you're just like, I'm not trained for this. How do I yes and this moment? You know, like, how do I not ask questions here? It's just like, it was like, okay, are we, first of all, is everybody okay? Is everybody safe? And then like, how do we keep the show going at that point?
Yeah.
It's just the rules help on a percentage basis. That's how I see it. Like, this is like, if I get really good at this form of parenting, I have an 80% shot of it working out in my favor, as opposed to going with some other, you know, or not having a rule on this, or not having a practice on this. Does that make sense?
Yeah. It's also like, what is that when you say like 80% chance of going in your favor? It's like, what do we think about when we think about success as parents?
I guess, yeah, I don't know. That's a good question too. But, you know, in the moment, it's like that my son will eat when it's dinner time. And then we can like get to bed at a reasonable time so that he's not exhausted the next day. And we're not, you know, yeah. it's like those small goals in those moments,
yeah.
that is like success. Like, will we playfully and have a good time brushing our teeth versus screaming and crying for 25 extra minutes, you know? But I don't know, maybe success is screaming and crying for 20 minutes and just being there and holding him in that space and letting him have that out and abandoning the agenda of, I really want to hang out with my wife tonight and watch a show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know.
Yeah, no, success often ends with me watching a show at the end of the day. That's a big part of it.
Oh, man, if we're watching an episode of Hacks, like we won that take gold star. We're still on season one, god damn it. This is how wow. behind, and they won a whole Emmy.
Multiple.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's I was thinking more about like in terms of success when we think about Jimmy and Oliver. Oliver is such a success in my book in that like they have a really good friendship. They really like each other's company. It's so obvious.
Yeah.
They are so very cute. Honest with each other. You know, Jimmy even at one point was like, I promise you, this kid will never do drugs. And I'm like, oh, I think it would be okay if my kid did drugs. You know, like, mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, we have different meters of what's good and what's not good.
Yeah.
Like, I support my kid trying mushrooms and figuring his relationship out with like all these other substances and whatever. No, maybe not all the other substances, but you know, there's like different meters of success.
Making calculated risks with
yes, in safe
herbs.
Places with a good mindset and a healthy setting. And I really think there's something about raising a kid that feels safe coming to you that I really want to enforce. Like, or, you know, maybe enforce isn't the right word, but back up.
Right. Yes. I want to enforce this idea that you must
feel safe coming to me.
Otherwise, that's the dot, dot, dot that doesn't work. But yeah, I totally agree that they just seem like they're super simpatico and love being around each other. And that's the goal. I think you're right. Like, especially if we only land with one. You know, if you got two, then you're like, only one of them has to like me. You got the one. You're just
need one to change my diapers when I'm old.
Yeah. Well, I assume some sort of AI bot is going to change my diapers when I'm older.
I hope so. Yeah. I hope they do more than just write songs.
Yeah. And steal creativity. I think Oliver, to me, at least he presents himself as an absolute smashing success. You know, who knows what's the dark underbelly of that Pardo clan?
Yeah, I don't think there is one.
So either. We tried to get there, but it was like...
With our deep investigative work of what's your favorite color and what's your favorite memory of your dad.
Yeah.
Nothing dark came out.
Nothing. Hmm. No, weirdly, nothing dark came out.
We
yeah.
Pride
even
this, and
even
pride.
Even the favorite colors were nice and light. Blue, you know. Was like, but I think... Like that one answer that Oliver had about his favorite like gift or whatever it was, was like quality time. And I was like, get out of here, you 16-year-old, little yogi. Like, what's going on? Like, that's such an amazing answer to have, I guess, about like what you really cherish. It wasn't this like, whatever, amazing trip or all this stuff. It was like, playing a board game with my dad, like, wow.
Yeah, that we still laugh about.
Yeah, that we think like basically it's the runner is what matters. Like, do you have good inside jokes?
Oh, that is such a sign of a good relationship.
Right?
Yeah.
It really is. It really is.
Anyway, I was hoping that you and I could come up with a few just to solidify where we stand as decade-long friends. I had to like check the calendar. I was like, decade-long friends.
More than decade.
We don't have enough inside jokes.
We don't?
We have a lot of old memories.
We don't have inside jokes. I'm sure we have inside jokes.
We've got big life-changing memories and big life-changing conversations, but maybe we don't have enough inside bits.
I feel like we have many bits, but I guess I can't think of any specific inside bits other than did you manifest some cigarettes today?
I did. They're right behind me. They're framed in that box.
That's an inside bit.
The other thing I really loved that Jimmy did was talking about his failures with his kid, which my parents have never done with me. Mm. And maybe when I was older and I brought them up of like, hey, remember that time everything went bad? But it does feel like such a great way to share your lessons.
Yeah.
To be like, don't do what I did, or also I'm human and be gentle on me.
Steve, write this down as a new question that we should ask, I think, is like, what was your biggest failure? And what did you learn from it? Like, I think that's a really good, we're trying to, by the way, audience, you know, let us know, you know, if you have other questions that we should ask. We're trying to figure out how to evolve the format a bit.
Yeah.
But I think that kind of stuff is really nice. Because I'm thinking about that, like, have my parents ever shared their biggest failures? Like, I don't know. Now I just want to have a conversation with my dad that's like, hey, what was your biggest failure? Like, and just have that start it from there.
Mm-hmm. One thing that I think was a missed opportunity in our interview is asking Jimmy, and maybe we should do this next time where we do a kid, a parent switcheroo, is asking Jimmy and Oliver how Jimmy's parents, how the way he was raised affected his parenting. Because, you know, the it can't not, you know, it affected him. He said a little bit in how his mom always asks if everyone's okay and if mm-hmm. they ever need anything, and how that drives his family crazy.
Right.
But right. I wonder how else, like, you know, how else are we correcting or overcorrecting or following in our footsteps?
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe that's another good question too, is like, in what way are you specifically not going to parent your child in a way that you were parented?
Yes. And in which way is it exactly like what did your parents do exactly correctly that you'd like to reinforce? What about you? What do you think your parents did really well that you'd like to keep going?
I think just community vibes. I think that like just constantly being in community was a big thing for my parents and our family. Mm. It was like just, you know, trying to get more people at the house, always just like opening the doors a lot, and then going to people's places or going to for us, it's not going to be temple per se, but, you know, like group community gatherings. I would love for our little crew to be hanging out more, you know, our friend groups. And so I think that stuff is like huge. Also, they did a lot of allowing me to fail on my own, like just a lot of unsupervised free play, you know, where they just did not get involved in the minutiae of my relationships with friends and stuff like that. In some ways, I think that's good. Like, unless it becomes huge, it's like, let them sort these things out. Mm-hmm. And just be modeling how you are good friends to your community. And I think just that vibration was always great. Like feeling like close to the people that my parents were close to, and that we had a really big group of people that I felt like we were close to.
My parents unconditionally loved me. Even when they were angry or spanking me or whatever, I always felt like they were doing it for my good, which is crazy because that's like a weird kind of Stockholm syndrome. But
I deserve this corporal punishment.
Truly.
Lash me harder, Father. Oh
God, that's so dark. But I did really think, you know, my dad was gone a lot, for example, and I always was like, well, he's gone because he is trying to make money for our family, or like trying to support us, or trying, you know, even if that, who knows how true any of what I thought as a child is. I think my parents really, really, really loved me and loved spending time with me.
What does that look like in terms of a value that you could translate? Like, I guess I'm trying to understand the sort of like, because don't you unconditionally love your son?
Yes, I do. I think the difference is, you know, I think I want my son to look back and feel in his body, in his body memory, that parenting was really fun for me and that I had a lot of fun with him.
Yeah.
In that, I want him to remember that I really tried to enjoy it more. Yeah. Even if sometimes it's a little performative, which how could it not be? It's a huge job.
Oh, I perform so much. I'm like, he better think. I mean, we're practically playing D&D in the bath. Like, what were we talking? Like, I mean,
D&D is a great precursor to parenting imagination.
You guys, I'm telling you this right now. The best bath toy is a D20, is a 20-sided die. Okay? That is unconditionally the best bath toy. My son gets so amped up when I bring out the dice, because he just can't wait, because he knows he's in for silly storytelling, and that it's going to be like, have a luck-based element, where he gets to roll the dice to see what happens. And he gets so into it, man. And I just weave in the like, got to put on soap, got to shampoo. I just weave that into the story. I'm just like, oh, you need to put on an invisibility suit. And I'd be like, you got to put the invisibility goo on. and then I'll write on and be like, okay, now roll your dice. Let's see how strong it is. Oh, you got a 7. Okay, it's only going to last for 3 minutes. So what are you going to do next? How are you going to get past the monsters? oh, we got to do the final rinse down. That's how you're going to get past him. And, you know, just like kind of weave the actual bath time into the story. And he freaking loves it.
Brilliant.
Best bath toy ever.
Your nerdum has really served you in parenthood.
I just think it doesn't have, there's nothing nerdy about it, truly. I mean, there is, because it's nerdy, I guess, because it's qualified as nerdy. But at the end of the day,
I mean that in the most loving way. I mean, like, by nerdy, I mean strong community. I mean storytelling centered. And it's about building a world. And so much of playing pretend is living in an imaginary world.
100%. And I think storytelling, even in an imaginary world, helps you practice telling your story. And being able to tell your story on big scales is hugely helpful. But even on the small scales, even being able to tell the story of your day to each other and where you're at is so powerful, because it brings you together as a family. You can understand where they're coming from, where they're having hardships. Like, you guys can be more on the same page as a little commune. And so practicing, today we did a whole story. He's having trouble with a friend at school, where he's saying he doesn't want to be a friend with this kid anymore because the kid's following him around because the kid kind of idolizes him. And so then I play acted a whole thing with this creature called Sticky Hair that we made up. Okay, don't ask. And then and Dr. Ock had a falling out, and he was like, "What happened, Dr. Ock?" And I was like, "Oh, Sticky Hair kept following me around everywhere and I didn't like it." And he was like, "Oh, well, maybe you can tell him that you need some space." And I was like, "That's a great idea." Instead of telling him, you know, instead of telling him that I don't want to be friends with him ever again, I could tell him this, you know, like, we just play acted his experience at school. I don't know if that's going to, we'll see. That happened this morning. So I don't know if that'll have an effect, but I had a feeling that what he was doing is being able to work out some of the stuff that he's dealing with and hopefully translate it to real life for him. So I think it's important. I don't think it's frivolity. I think it's really important stuff, because ultimately, what are we as humans? We are storytellers. That's how we do everything. It's how we
make meaning of anything.
Yes.
Okay, we'll report back on Sticky Hair and Doc Ock.
I'll let you know how that shakes out. Yeah, it's a big, we're at a big cliffhanger. So see how that goes.
Well, I love this. Thank you for catching up with me. And guys, if you're listening, would you just do me a solid and follow and rate and comment and share this? Because we really love doing this podcast. We love spending time together. Tell us who you think we should have on as a guest, or questions we should ask. We want this to be a collaborative, community-based experience.
Yeah, come on over.
Let us just be your proxies in this weird parenting comedy podcast that we're trying to make for you. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We love you so much. Thank you for listening. And let's talk again soon.
Yeah, let's find an inside joke together, guys. Let's do it. We can do it. Well, insert inside joke sign off here.
Spaghetti.
Your Mom is a podcast is hosted by Milana Weintraub and Sandeep Parikh. It is executive produced by Milana Weintraub, Sandeep Parikh, and Stephen Hine. Editing and sound design is by Sean Marr. Music by Matt Friedman. This podcast comes from Effin' Funny Productions and Story Mill Media. Be sure to follow the podcast on Instagram and TikTok at Your Mom is a Podcast.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price.
This is a tax break. Switch to a TurboTax Live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beatyourprice. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beatyourprice.